Well, good morning and welcome to our service. I hope you have had a good Christmas despite all the restrictions. And what is a good Christmas? Well, that is going to be our focus this morning, which we look at Luke's passage in chapter 2. The bins might be full of wrapping paper. The fridge may be full of leftovers. Christmas Day is past, but the text today is anything but the leftovers of Christmas. It is full of how to celebrate Christmas, of how we keep celebrating Christmas. That is what we have come to do in gathering like this. So let's begin by bringing ourselves before God, meditating on his word, worshipping in song. I'll read a verse. Let's be quiet, bring ourselves before the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. you join me in praying? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for what you've done. What a joy to celebrate this season. How we praise you for coming to redeem us. We want to join the angels in declaring your praise, in singing your glory, in magnifying you, in exalting you. And let us be in awe at what you've done. Let us be amazed and excited. And let your tender mercy towards us in Christ be as wonderful and moving to us now as it was the hour we first heard, the hour we first believed. Let there be a renewed adoration in our hearts towards your great work of salvation. Let there be a fresh zeal to tell of your salvation, to declare to others what the new birth means to us and what it can mean for them. So we pray that this Christmas time, that many will be coming to Christ. Lord, we pray that you would cause many people to see their great need of Jesus and so seek and search and come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we pray for the days ahead. Many forecast the most difficult January ever for lots of people. In your mercy, Lord, would you lift the lowly? Would you help the humble and the hurting? In your mercy, draw near to those who are feeling hopeless, in despair. And for those who come to you, let it instead be the best January ever. Let there be great rejoicing. Let families come and declare your praise. Let us as a church be seeking to keep in step with the Spirit. Let us put away all that hinders and run the race. Let us run into this next year with great hope and expectation, not in this passing world, but in you. And would you be glorified by us as your people? Would the hope we have in our hearts be seen? Would it be felt? Would it resonate in our homes in this area so that you get the glory, your Son gets the praise and adoration, and that your kingdom comes? So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and we ask boldly, confidently, that you would bless us as we move in to a new year to come. Amen. Well, do join in this next song. Who is he in yonder stall? There's the question. And the song is just full of wonderful answers. It is the Lord, the King of Glory. This song is just full of wonderful building truths about who the baby in the manger really is. So do encourage, let me encourage you to join in.
Thank you. the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
For a few minutes now at that passage in Luke chapter 2 that was read to us a few moments ago, and I encourage you to have that passage to hand so you can see and follow along, so you can see what I'm talking about and where it's from in God's word. Well, there are many ways to celebrate Christmas. Some people stay in their own home to celebrate, others go and see family and friends. Some open their presents on Christmas Eve. Others wait till Christmas morning, perhaps even Christmas afternoon. Some people choose their own presents, don't they? Others act surprised when they open them. Some have the Christmas meal at lunchtime. Others wait for kind of mid-afternoon or evening. Some watch the Queen's speech. Others fall asleep. Some put up lots of lights on their homes and in their homes. Others, just a few lights. Some people send a family newsletter. Others send a card. There are many ways, different ways we celebrate Christmas. But actually, there is only one right way to celebrate Christmas. And this passage shows it. The shepherds show us how to celebrate Christmas. And it revolves around Christ. Of course it does. It is his birthday. He is the center of Christmas. And we may think that we celebrate Christmas, but if we don't celebrate Christ, we don't celebrate Christmas. We may think we have lots of things, but if we don't have Christ, actually we have nothing of real value. Well, before we look together at how to celebrate Christmas properly, at how the shepherds are our model, let me pray briefly. Father, what a joy it is to open your word now. What a privilege for each one of us to sit under your word, to hear it, to hear from you. And we ask now that by it, you would bring light and life to each one. Amen. Well, we're going to pick up the Christmas story in Luke's account, chapter 2, verse 15. And first we see that the angels leave the shepherds at returning to heaven. And, I mean, can you imagine the sight? This multitude of heavenly beings, this great host, I mean, hundreds, possibly thousands, which have descended in the middle of the night, praising God and singing, they now ascend into the clouds, winging their way back to heaven. I mean, can you imagine that sight? Can you imagine how awestruck the shepherds must have been? What a thing to see. What an event. And what's next? Well, the shepherds have delivered the sermon. They've given the message. Will they respond? And we don't read here of any pause. We don't read of any hesitation. Instead, they say to one another, kind of, what are we waiting for? Let's go. And they hurry off to find this Christ, this Lord. And that is the first thing that each person needs to do this Christmas. Come to Christ. Come to Christ by faith, believing. Seek and search for the Saviour for yourself. They say, let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The thing is the good news of great joy. It is the birth in the town of David. It is the birth of the Saviour who is born, Christ the Lord, God's salvation. This is the thing. It's God's promised one, God's ruling king. And the sign is they will find a baby wrapped and lying in a manger. So they hurried off, and it's the first Christmas rush, isn't it, really? They don't have a postcode, they don't have a road or a house number to go on. They would have had to make their way through the town of Bethlehem, looking, searching in every likely location, probably attracting a bit of attention, doing that in the middle of the night. But the hunt was on. They had heard, and so they had to search for the Saviour. They had to find this Saviour for themselves. And this is the thing each person must do. Come to Christ. Search for the Saviour. Seek him while he may be found. We must personally come to Christ by faith. We cannot celebrate Christmas. In fact, we do not celebrate Christmas unless we come to Christ. Christmas is empty without Christ. It is not Christmas. It's something else. But we might have reservations. We might say, but, you know, he's not for me. I'm okay, thanks. Well, yes, he is for you, and no, you're not okay. We each, in our sin, are far from okay. Because each one is heading for a day when we stand before our Maker and judgment for sin is coming. That is why the Saviour has been sent. Because you and I are never not in need of Jesus. You're also never out of the reach of Jesus, which is great news. Who did the angels tell? I mean, who was it that night searching for Jesus? It wasn't the religious. It wasn't the respected. It wasn't the kind of acceptable middle or upper classes. It was shepherds. Because Jesus came to bring great joy for all the people. The shepherds were the first to come to Christ. And you too must come to Christ. We must search for him until we find him. And that's the call Christ made years later in his ministry. Come to me, all you who thirst. Come and drink. Come, all you weary and burdened. Come because your life depends on it. Come to me, all you tired of sin, tired of trying in your own strength, tired of not knowing, tired of hopelessness, tired of emptiness. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest for your soul. Come to Jesus for salvation. Have you come to Christ in your heart? Have you ever come? Have you hurried to him, departing from where you were, from what you were doing, and run to Christ? You must come for him. You must search for him until you find him. If we are to celebrate Christmas, if we are to be saved by the Saviour of Christmas, we must first come to him for ourselves. Leave where we are to find him. So the shepherds come to Christ, and then they go to tell of Christ. See verse 17. When they had seen him, after they'd come to him for themselves, once they saw this baby in a manger, that the sign that God's word was true through the angels, when the reality of God's revelation hit them, what did they do? Well, they did what was completely natural. They went and they spread the word. They might be barred from being witnesses in court, but nothing's stopping them from witnessing of what they've just seen and heard. They tell. I mean, they could have come up with excuses, couldn't they? Things like, you know, maybe it's not a great time. You know, Mary's just had a baby. She needs peace and quiet. And it's the middle of the night, and we've got to get back to our sheep, that sort of thing. Or they might have said, you know, it's not a good place, you know, for people to hear such news. You know, we need the right kind of time and the right setting. Perhaps we should arrange an evangelistic meal. Or they might have said, you know, we're not the right people. You know, we don't know Mary and Joseph. We've not been invited. We don't kind of want to intrude, tread on any toes. And besides, they might have said, you know, we're not presentable. Far from it. We need a wash first. Perhaps we better leave it to others. You know, we haven't had a class on evangelism, you know, so perhaps we should wait. But there's no hint of any excuses, of any reason not to tell. Far from it. They just naturally tell what they had seen and heard. And that's evangelism, isn't it? That is what any Christian can do. Yes, some training may help in how we present Christ, in answering questions that are kind of difficult and tricky. But all Christians can say who he is and what he's done for me. Having come to Christ, the most natural thing for them then was to tell others. And it's very likely that we need to get back to that place, Christians, where we just marvel at Jesus for ourselves, so we just tell others. I mean, it would be really strange if they hadn't have told anyone, wouldn't it? After all they'd seen and heard, if they just kept their mouths closed, that would have been odd. And that's the question for us, really. I mean, if Christ is real, if God really has come to earth for us, if you have really come to Christ, if he has truly forgiven your sin, if his life is in you through the Spirit, if your hope is transformed, if your eyes are opened, then how can we not tell? How can we not speak of him? And Christmas gives us a really good natural opportunity to talk of Jesus. And the question then is, will we tell others? How are we going to do this? Well, who do the shepherds tell? Who are the all who heard in verse 18? Well, Mary and Joseph, of course. What a message for Mary and Joseph. There they are with Jesus in the animal shelter. Yes, no doubt recovering. And in comes some shepherds with this account of what they have heard. Mary and Joseph must have just gaped and glanced at each other, and at Jesus in the manger. More angels. More confirmation. What a message for them. The all of verse 18 also implies that others were present, and having a baby does draw people. I guess locals would have heard the noise. Searching the town at night would have perhaps attracted a few as well. And so they told all the people, all that heard. They told them that this is the Saviour. They passed on the message. This is the Christ. This is the Lord, as the angels have told us. And all who heard were amazed at what they said. They were in awe. They were staggered by this. I mean, this baby is the Saviour. This baby is God in human flesh. I mean, it's incomprehensible, yet also not. This is the Messiah. He's come now in our time, in our place. It was just mind-boggling. And that is the right way to celebrate Christmas too. To wonder and to be in awe at Christ's coming. That God would come to us in such a way. And this ought to either amaze us for the first time, or it ought to continue to amaze us. That God was welcomed into this world, not by heads of state, but by shepherds and animals. That the God of the universe would swap the streets of gold for a stable floor, a crown for a cradle, the riches of heaven for the rags of this world. If we are not in awe at this news, we're not thinking, we're not seeing. So they are amazed. But look at Mary's reaction, which ought also to be ours. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Again, she sets us a really great example. She stores up that which is valuable, and she meditates on it. Imagine for a moment now gave you a handful of diamonds, or someone gave you a handful of diamonds. What would we do? Well, we would hold this treasure with great care. We would look upon it. We would think upon it. All Mary has been told, all she has seen, all she has experienced, all these things she holds in her heart, in her mind, they don't go in one ear and out the other. No, she would have clung to every word from the angel, from Elizabeth, and now from the shepherds, holding them, pondering them in her heart, placing them together, kind of putting them side by side is the picture, to see, to appraise, to evaluate, to think on. And that is what we're meant to do with God's word. We're not to exit a service, leave a talk like this and just mindlessly leave everything we've heard, in the church building or wherever. No, we are to take God's word with us, to ponder these truths, treasure them, pray on them, apply them to our lives. Lastly, do we see what the shepherds do to celebrate Christmas? Next, it's in verse 20. Let me read it to us. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. How did they celebrate the first Christmas? They came as seekers to Jesus, and they went back as worshippers, didn't they? As changed men, glorifying and praising God, because they found that everything they had been told was true. The shepherds were never the same. They were changed at Christmas. They became new men. They became worshippers of God, giving all the honor and the glory to God for what he had done. They exalted his name. They praised him. And that is the heart of Christmas. That is the beginning of Mary's song, of Zechariah's song. That is, of course, the angel's song, because that is how to celebrate Christmas. Their mouths were opened, their tongues were set free in praise, in a new song. They had a new spring in their step. They were different people. And Christmas needs to change us. If it doesn't, then something has missed the mark. Either something hasn't been communicated rightly to us, or we haven't listened and received rightly. Because Christmas ought to get us going back to our homes and our families, praising God for his greatness, for what he's done. We must leave as worshippers, hearts ablaze for God, in awe and wonder. But if we have no greater passion to praise after meeting Christ, we then must conclude we haven't met Christ. If we've not worshipped God, we really haven't celebrated Christmas. And you must. For Christmas, you know, if it is just celebrated year on year in just a horizontal plane, if you like, then when we come to the end of our lives, this child who grew, who walked to the cross, who rose from the grave, who ascended back into heaven, he will stand before us, or we will stand before him one day. And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And we will remain in our sin, paying for it for all eternity. Because the wages of our sin is death. But the free gift of God in Christ is eternal life. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So have you come to Christ? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you speak of Christ? Has your mouth been opened in praise of God and adoration of Christ, in the proclamation of Christ to others, small or larger ways? These three things must happen in us for us to truly be celebrating Christmas. Well, praise God for his words. We're going to use the carol to draw us to a close. Good news to you we bring. Again, I encourage you to join in. And after we've sung this together, I will lead us in prayer to close our time. Joy to be leading us this morning. I pray that you will keep these things in your heart, you will ponder them, and you'll be rejoicing as well. Let's pray along these lines now. Heavenly Father, we do indeed praise and glorify you for the wonder of what you've done at Christmas. And we pray that each one of us would come to Christ for ourselves, that we would seek him and we would continue to do so. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, that we lose our amazement and wonder at what you've done, and you would restore to us that joy and excitement of what it means that you have come to rescue your people. Would there be a new awareness and adoration in our lives, and a new exaltation of you in every aspect of our lives? We thank you for your word. We thank you for the songs, for the prayers, for this time now. Lord, would you bless us and keep us, and would you cause your face to shine upon us and give us the peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. We ask this for the glory of your name. Amen.